When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Collin II, and with me, as always, is...
Destiny Joe and Carta.
Joe.
Yep.
Are you like a cup of Joe?
Like Morning Joe.
Oh, okay.
With Jeff Scarborough, whatever his name
Joe,
is.
Joe Scarborough.
Sorry, Joe Scarborough. Yeah, duh.
That's why it's called The Morning Show.
Yeah, double entendre there. Yeah, no, my Joe is short for, I'm assuming, Josephine. Is that what it is?
I think so. I don't know if I don't know if they ever say.
They didn't really say no, though.
I'm assuming Josephine. Anyways, I watched a movie, and so did you.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess qualifies as a sequel.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is it even related at all to the original, like character-wise, or like a...
There's one returning character.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we're covering in our Direct From Hell series, Mean Girls 2, which was a made-for-TV and home video movie that premiered on January 23rd, 2011 on ABC Family.
Hmm.
And it was made by Paramount Famous Productions, a made-for-home entertainment division of Paramount Pictures, which produced 6 movies before it folded.
Huh.
And this is the movie that killed it.
Famous, huh?
Yeah, Paramount Famous Productions. It was named after... See, there used to be a... Prior to Paramount Pictures, there was Famous Pictures, and then they merged, and some companies merged, and they became Paramount Pictures.
Okay.
Famous was one of them, so they named it after that. But Paramount Famous Productions lasted from 2009 to 2011.
Mm.
Made 6 movies, and we have covered 3 other ones besides this one.
So, oh, really, which one? So we have 4 so far. Okay.
Yeah, we covered Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling.
Okay.
Van Wilder, yeah. Freshman Year, and Road Trip, yep. Beer Pong.
Oh my God, all those movies are terrible. I loved particularly how Jerry Rice was in Without a Paddle too, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And who was he claiming to be in the movie?
Like Al Gore's brother or something?
Yeah, or something to do with Al. Yeah, okay. Yep, that was a good one. Check that one out.
Honestly, though, those 3 movies I would rather watch again before watching Mean Girls 2 again.
Yeah, because they did have a little bit more excitement to them.
Initial thoughts here.
So I actually kind of really liked the first half of the movie, even though it was corny.
Yeah.
Not corny as in Capricorn Alien movies or whatever. But then the second half, it just kind of fell apart for me. It was way too much. It will move too fast. It was, you know, every story has to at some point have some kind of conflict or whatever. And it just, it went by way, way too fast for part of the story.
There were things thrown in there that should have been just like left on the cutting room floor.
No, but I was actually kind of, you know, liking it. You know, I wouldn't say, you know, I was loving it, like, you know, for the McDonald's tagline, but yeah. I was liking it to a degree.
Yeah, it really wasn't Fetch for me.
No, not Fetch. Is that coming back now? Is that a new
Fetch? Is not Fetch is never going to be a thing. That's a quote from the first movie.
I've heard people saying that recently, yeah. Though.
Well, it's because The reason we are covering this, that I decided to choose this film, is because currently the Mean Girls musical movie is out in theaters. It's the number one film in the country right now as we record this. Yeah, so I figured this would be a good tie-in. I have yet to see that one, but I've heard both good and bad about it. So, but it's doing pretty well at the box office, so that can't be a, you know, horrible thing. Yeah, so that might be why Fetch is kind of coming back, I guess.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, but in the movie, you know, the one in the first movie, the one girl was trying to make Fetch a thing, but it never happened.
I could have sworn that was in the 80s, though. Wasn't that a slang in the 80s, or am I thinking of a different word?
Probably a different word, because I think Fetch was just something for this, for Mean Girls. I don't know. And it, I mean, it's short for like fetching or something, I think. But I really did not like this movie. There were a lot of glaring issues with the movie in the writing, direction, and from what I heard, this movie was shot like really fast too. Like, I think it was shot in less than 20 days, and which for a movie produced in Hollywood, that's short. What happens here in this film, if you want to call it that?
I want to call it a film. So Joe is our main, is our leading girl. She,
oh yeah, Joe, by the way, I forgot to mention what before we get into it here. Okay, so this was written by Cliff Ruby, Elena Lesser, and Allison Schroeder, directed by Melanie Mayron. We've got our main character, Joe Mitchell, played by Megan Martin. She was on the TV show 10 Things I Hate About You, based on the movie 10 Things I Hate About You. Then there's Maria Walsh as Mandy Weatherly, the leader of the Plastics. There's Jennifer Stone as Abby Hanover, who's like a kind but unpopular rich kid. Those are our main three characters. Okay, now back to what happened.
Okay, so what happens is it begins with like one of those, like, I bet you're gonna asking how I got to this point, you know, type of things or whatever, where this rich dude is offering to pay her to be his daughter's friend, but I don't know if they
don't say that. They don't stipulate why he's paying her anything at the beginning. So when I first saw this, I'm like, is he going to try to have sex with her? What's going on here?
Yeah, it was just like, I had no idea what it was about. And that's kind of like our, you know, our beginning thing. And then, you know, they kind of go to her backstory a little bit. Her mom died when she was young, like when she was like a year old. And her dad, he makes like car engines for race cars as like his job. And, you know, he taught her everything he knows. So she's kind of like a tomboy or whatever type of character.
Yeah.
And she's had to go to 16 different schools throughout her life because apparently his job requires him to like
move around or something.
Which I don't understand why you would need to.
Yeah.
You can't just our parts to different parts of the country apparently in 2011. But I don't know, whatever. And so that was
back in 2011. They didn't have cars, so it's kind of weird that
they didn't have mail and stuff like that, or shipping. That's like a new thing. Apparently, it just came out in 2020 during the pandemic. But
yeah, you couldn't ship car parts because there was no such thing as transportation.
No, this didn't exist. So. And so anyway, so they had to move 16 times throughout her childhood. And so, you know, consequently, you know, she's never really made any, you know, lasting friends. And she's never really been in like a, you know, relationship with like, you know, boyfriend or whatever. So she's kind of a loner character. And, you know, she just kind of wants to put her head down and just finish school because she's, you know, about to graduate. And and that's one of the big sticking points is her dad couldn't find any work this year or something, and so he couldn't pay for her tuition, and because she wants to go to a specific college that her mom went to honor her memory. Yeah, so she doesn't want to
Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah, so she doesn't want to go to like a cheaper school because she wants to make sure that she can have that sort of share that legacy with her, you know, departed mother, which, you know, makes sense. And so that's when we get into the payment thing is Abby is she's being picked on by Mandy relentlessly, who's the leader of Plastics.
So I want to point out something here at the beginning of the movie where you're told that she's moving to Ohio to go to North Shore High School. The first movie takes place in Evanston, Illinois.
Okay.
And this is supposedly the same high school from the first movie.
Oh, it is? Okay. That's
because we have the same, it's the same name, name of the high school and the same high school principal, played by Tim Meadows.
Yeah, the great Tim Meadows. I love that guy. So basically it's like a Bayside situation with the Saved by the Bell where the whole school just moves to
I don't get why they, I mean, because the thing is, the movie was filmed in Georgia, but they decided to place it in Ohio, even though the first movie was in Illinois. It's almost like somebody got cliff notes of the first movie and then wrote this movie. Like, they didn't even know what the details of the first movie were.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, it did look kind of, I don't know, just the environment stuff was very, you know, there wasn't a lot of nature in the movie, like showing like the actual town that they live in or whatever. It just felt kind of, you know, enclosed or whatever. And so Mandy has this grudge against Abby because they're both rich, you know, they both come from very, very wealthy families. Abby was always just a little bit richer than Mandy, you know, like her birthday parties were always just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Whatever. So Mandy has been holding this grudge against Abby, always like showing her up and home. So I guess that's what kind of led her to sort of like be popular at school, as like a way to sort of counteract, you know, her home life or whatever. Really stupid.
Yeah,
whatever, kind of a dumb plot, but okay. So, you know, Mandy pretty much torments her at school as leader of the Plastics, which is a great name, apparently. Why would you call yourself the Plastics? It's just weird.
I don't know. Like, that's the name that they call themselves in the first movie, too, so.
I know, but it just sounds like that's something, like, your enemies would call you, not that you would call yourself. You know what I mean?
Or like, it could be something that maybe, because it's obviously something that's been going on for a long time in that school, because this is years later and there's still Plastics. Maybe it started out as a insult, but the Plastics like embraced it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. So they're the new Plastics or whatever is what they call themselves, I guess. And yeah, you know, they've taken on the torch. That's the other thing too. So how does this work? Is there like a, does the leader of the former Plastics like pass the torch so they can continue the organization, or do people just claim it on their own? Like, is there, this like a,
it's like a union. There's dues and
okay.
No, I don't know.
Well, I'm just wondering if there's like a succession thing here.
Because like in most, because like in television and movies, there's always this like fabricated idea of cliques that don't even really exist in the real world. I mean, you do have certain cliques, and you have like, I kind of floated between a few cliques when I was in high school, you know, where I could get along with most people, but I still was kind of a nerd. But there was this, I was mainly in the theater, you know, I was mainly a theater geek because those were my best friends and stuff were all in theater. But I did have friends that were in, you know, other organizations and stuff that I belonged to, and like the art club and more of the nerdy stuff. But also I was somehow friends with like people on the football team and cheerleaders and stuff, and I don't know how that happened, but you know, but there was never like a thing where, I mean, you sat with your friends in the lunchroom, but I never felt like there was this thing where there was like a table. Everybody did kind of gravitate towards the same table every day, but it was never like there was a demarcation where it was like, okay, these are these people. And there was never like a name for the groups of people. There was there was the popular kids, but there were people that were popular for different reasons. You know, people were popular because they were on the football team, or they were a cheerleader, or there were people that were in, you know, student government that were popular, you know, different things like that. There was never a specific demarcation, in my opinion. And I think that's kind of how it is in most schools, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe there is like a union where you join when you go to a school where, okay, now you're all of a sudden, you're the art club. You know, I mean, there's the club, but it's like you're the art geeks or whatever, you know. I don't know how it works, you know.
Yeah, the same thing when I was going to school. It was like there wasn't like only the football players sat together at a table, or only the people in theater, only the people in choir. You know, it just, that's like a Hogwarts type of mentality of like, yeah, you're in this house, you know, so you sit in this table with your own, you know, people or whatever.
That's how schools were actually in Great Britain for years, and I think they might still be some private schools.
Oh, really?
That's where J.K. Rowling got the idea for these houses, is because there was actually schools like that in Great Britain that have houses. Like, you know, you would get put into you know, they didn't have a sorting hat, of course, but they would, you know, get put into, like, you know, probably randomly put into different houses, and that's kind of who you spent your time with the 4 years you were in high school. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's another bad idea, and she inherited. Anyway, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, so Mandy torments Abby at one point. Abby, because Mandy's got, like, this little chihuahua dog, which is weird. I know you're allowed to take dogs and school, but okay.
I'm pretty sure you're not. And there's a lot of things that people do in this school that I'm pretty sure you can't do, but anyways.
There's, yeah, multiple felonies have been committed and all kinds of stuff. And so she's got this little dog in her bag, and dog gets loose and starts begging Abby for some food. So Abby gives her a little something, and I guess the dog throws up in Mandy's bag or something.
Yeah.
And then this random person just rats on Abby, which I don't know how this person even saw what happened. She's like, she did it, whatever. So then,
yeah, it's,
I don't know. It's stupid.
The camera angles and a lot of things in this movie were badly done. But
yeah, you just see someone pointing their arm and finger at someone, but you don't even see the person. You just see their arm. And it's like, okay.
Also earlier on, too, though, with Mandy, she, I don't know if it was the same. No, yeah, it was the same day. She had already like fallen, you know, gotten stuff on her and then like fell into a trash can or done other things, you know, but she ended up having the stuff trip on her because this guy ran into her who looked like he had to be a teacher because he looked like he was at least in his 30s. But prior to him doing that, he's literally like checking out one of the students.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Like I watched it. I had to rewind it. Like he's looking at this like girl that walks by, like checking her out. And I'm like, dude,
supposed to be a teacher or a student.
He had to have been a teacher because he was like balding.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, you know,
yeah, that was our first felony. So yeah.
Yeah. Our first felony from the creepy teacher checking out high school student. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. I mean, yeah, you know, and so you're introduced to our clique, the Plastics. You got Mandy, obviously, as the leader. You've got Chastity, even though her name does not match her.
Yeah, her name.
Personality.
It was supposed to be funny and ironic. Chastity.
Yeah, you get it.
It's a girl who has a raging libido. You know, it's like.
And she's also blonde, and she's also stupid. You get it, blonde.
Yeah.
And dumb, you get it? It's funny, right? Because the dumb blonde jokes that have been going around since like 1960s, you get it? You understand? Yeah. Anyway.
No, I'm lost. Can you explain that to me? Yeah. Maybe like,
yeah, well, it means
draw me a picture or something. I'm joking.
Yeah, for some reason they decided that blonde haired women were stupid. I don't even know who decided on that, like what color of hair made you stupid somehow. I don't know what like how that came to be.
Well, when I was born, I had blonde hair.
Yeah, I did too. I had practically white blonde hair, like it was very shiny.
As I got older, it got you know, I became a brunette. Yeah, I mean, when I was like born, I wasn't that smart, but I think that might have had something to do with the fact that I was still a baby. But
yeah, you're a baby, obviously. Yeah. And at one point, you know, Mandy tells her, I need you to play dumb, you know, D'Souza. And she goes, I don't need to play dumb.
Yeah.
And it's like, ha ha ha. You get it? And it's like, okay, error number one. Because if someone was dumb, why would they even have the knowledge to know that they were dumb? That's not something that happens.
Exactly.
So that's.
I mean, they were trying to make her, like, in the first movie, there was this character, Karen, played by Amanda Seyfried, or Seyfried, however you pronounce it. Who was dumb, and she was blonde as well. But so it was like she was kind of like a rehash of that character, added with the extra like libido type thing, you know. So
right. So you know, we got that stereotype going on. And so yeah. So Joe,
and then, she and the other plastic is Hope, who is
I forgot her name.
Hypochondriac. Yeah, I found it funny that the two sidekicks are Hope and Chastity.
Right. You get it. Like, it's like, funny, right? I don't know. Like, and then
names or something. Yeah.
It's just so stupid. This movie is kind of, now that I think about it, the movie is kind of dumb. I think I liked the first half because I was tired when I was watching it. Well, maybe being tired just kind of made it entertaining to me, I guess, to some degree.
Yeah.
But so we get Joe's showing up the first day of school already. You know, there's like some intrigue to her because she's wearing a leather jacket. You know, she doesn't care what people think about her. She's like, oh, who's this new chick, you know, type of thing or whatever. Like, this one guy is, like, eyeballing her who's, like, buy his new car and trying to show off his new car because, like, there's this whole thing about, like, people's cars being attached to their identities, which that's another thing that doesn't really happen, like, really. I mean, like, maybe to some degree you got the guy who's, like, into, like, hot rodding, but it's not like, oh, the geeks drive this type of car and the cheerleaders drive this type of car. I'm like, no, doesn't happen at all. And no,
it's like in the first movie, they had the little clicks that they went through and talked about, but it was done in a more reasonable like way that made sense. Well, yeah, but one thing too, back, I mean, I think this kind of skipping around here, the dog thing.
Okay.
So after the dog pukes in the bag and then she gets it on her hand and stuff and then gets all, and the other girl puts her bag down so Abby can trip and fall again. But anyways, Mandy is so disgusted by the thing, she throws away her whole bag, including the fucking dog.
Right. So we could tag animal neglect now to multiple crimes being committed in this movie. It's right.
Because we never see the dog again after there's this other girl, what was her name? Quinn, who's like a school newspaper reporter chick. She takes the bag and the dog out of the trash and, you know, basically because, you know.
So she saves the dog, yeah.
Yeah, but nice. I don't know. Luckily, she saved the dog. But, I mean, I'm still like, but also, that bag on top of the dog, which is cruel to animals. But you also, she also had her phone in there and all this other shit in there.
Well, she could just buy another phone, I guess, you know, because she's rich or whatever.
And another dog, I guess, too. Yeah.
But still, you know, your personal information's on that phone. You know, it's kind of. It's kind of very, you know, neglectful, but hey, you know, that's Mandy for you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so backtracking a little bit, Joe shows up at school. She takes shop class, you know, because she's like, you know, tomboy, right? She takes shop, you know? And of course the teacher's like, what, a girl in our shop class? Oh, you must be there for a home ec, you know, or whatever type of thing. You know, it's just like so, like just tired tropes, you know, that you see in like all these TV shows and movies. And then she's like, as much as I appreciate that sexism, I'm actually here for shop or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she sits next to this guy who's like, you know, apparently really handsome. And she's like, it's, you know, lost in his eyes or whatever. And then, but then, you know, he opens his mouth and says something sexist. So then it kind of ruins the moment for her where he's like, oh, you could decorate the treehouse that we're making or whatever. And she's like, the acting's so terrible. No, no offense to her. Like, again, this was filmed in 20 days, right? So,
yeah.
But she's like, thanks. But actually, I'll work. It's just the way she said it. It was like
I'll work the dove joints or something, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it was just so cringy. But again, 20 days, it's not her fault. You know, it's very limited time to, you know, to get every line right, you know. I'm actually even more impressed now that I know it only took 20 days to film this. So I'm actually kind of impressed that it actually turned out, you know, the way it even did, you know,
because
that's really enough to make an hour and a half film, you know, well, what approximates as a film. But so Joe, without even trying, starts kind of becoming popular just by like being aloof and stuff like that. And that really pisses off Mandy. So Mandy at first wants to kind of recruit her, you know, to be in the plastics, you know, because she wants to like have full control or whatever of her clique. And Joe kind of snubs her a little bit. And then Mandy's like, oh, actually that wasn't a question. Like I'm telling you. And it's like, no, you're not like an authority figure. Like you can't just decide.
It's so funny how in a lot of the movies we watch, the kids seem to rule the world.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing, too. Like, Tim Meadows always seems like he's powerless, and he's the freaking principal of the school. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, too. So, atop of the misdemeanors and felonies, Tim Meadows also commits several felonies as he's taking pictures of people making out and committing crimes in the school in order to, like, prove that they committed some infraction. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to take photographs of your students kissing each other,
I don't think you're allowed to take photos of your students, period. Without their permission. Because I know, especially now in the age of cell phones and stuff, because I remember that there was a, and it goes both ways too, even which is horrible, because there's been times where schools have not allowed something to be filmed even when a teacher is like harassing a student.
Oh, I see.
But it's also goes the other way too, where like a student is harassing the teacher and the teacher's not allowed to film it.
Right.
So either way, I mean, it's bad. I mean, harassment's bad either way. So it's just like,
yeah, because at one point, you know, Mandy has chastity make out with some guy for some reason. I don't remember why. And then, I mean, she has her do this several times throughout the movie. She basically just pimps out her friend or acolyte, you know, to just like, you know, seduce random students throughout the entire movie, which is kind of, you know, cruel in a lot of ways. But then Tim Meadows is sitting there even creepier because they're below and he's like on top of the stair and he's taking pictures from on top of the, and,
yeah.
I don't know. It just came off really creepy. I mean, I know the reason why he was doing it is because he wanted to, like, catch them in the act in order to suspend, or not suspend them, but, like, give them detention or whatever. But it's like, dude, I don't think that's the way you go about it. Even in 2011, you know, I mean, I know a lot's have changed in the past 13 years, but I think even in 2011, that was kind of like, maybe not do that, you know? And so lots of weird stuff like that. I mean, like, you know, destruction of property is featured here. I mean, like a multiple $1,000 car is completely destroyed.
Do you have dreams that you want to achieve but are scared to do so due to self-doubt, fear, and other people's criticism? I have just what you need. You need a dose of the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, where I interview guests that will motivate and inspire you to stop at nothing to achieve your dreams. And always remember, if you believe, you can achieve.
The Living the Dream Curveball podcast is available on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, everybody. Why don't you give the old Black Lincoln Collective podcast a listen? We're funny, we're fat, and we're here 24/7 at blcpodcast.com. Anytime you want to listen, anywhere, all your favorite podcast apps. Of course, we have a YouTube channel where you can stream live with the show. Check out our shorts. We're funnier the less you hear of us. That's been a Black Lincoln Collective podcast at blcpodcast.com.
It's like, okay, so her car gets, you know, like plummeted by paintballs.
Yeah.
No one notices this.
No, teachers don't. And they just let them keep doing it. It's like, wait, you got paintball guns on school, which I'm pretty sure that's already forbidden to even have on school because it resembles guns and the school shootings on for like, since like early.
So guns things remind me completely. It's kind of off topic, but so there's, okay. There's this new older guy at my work.
Okay.
I sat down to him at our meeting that we were having. I sat down next to him and because, you know, that's the only seat that was there. So and yeah. There was something about gun violence on the TV that was in the room that we were in. And he says, I don't understand why there's all this school shooting these days. Back when I was a kid, we could bring our rifles to school. And I tried to explain it to him. And of course, he was just like, well, you know, I think that, you know, if more people had guns, things would be better and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, why did I get in this conversation?
Well, it kind of reminds me of your old neighbor who was like the prepper dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes talk to you about like all these right wing conspiracy theories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The dude that, like, what was it? What did he looked like the dude from Crosby, Stills, and that.
He looked like David Crosby. Yeah.
He did. You know, I mean, he was like a dead ringer for David. He could have actually probably worked as like a
David Crosby lookalike.
Yeah, totally. He probably makes some money doing that. Like, show up to parties and he could bring guns.
He just disappeared. He just disappeared one day, too.
Oh, really?
Like, I never saw him again. I didn't know if he was moving or if he got kicked out.
I mean, he probably went and finally left and lived, like, in a trailer or something. Yeah. Or, you know, he was kind of cool, though. He's pretty interesting, dude.
He was nice to talk to. But, But, yeah, anyway, but the thing is like, her car's got paint on it. And she's, like, all freaking out and angry and everything, of course. But Joe then offers to, you know, is like, okay, I'll give you a ride home, you know, thing. Is the car undrivable because it has paint?
That's the thing. I didn't understand that. Why? Maybe she was just embarrassed to drive the car home or something, and her parents would see that she's being picked on again, you know, by Mandy and her plastics or something. I don't know. And then, yeah, that's right.
Joe drives, you know, drives a Vespa, which.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, which makes her cool.
Well, yeah, of course. That's the other thing, too. She parked, so there was, when she went to school the first day, there was another Vespa parked, and she decided to park right next to that one. I guess that was, like, the Vespa-only parking space or something.
Yeah, but like, everybody acts all, like, she's the only person who's ever, you know, like, driven a Vespa. But there's already one there in the school parking lot.
Well, we don't know, maybe, I don't know. It was just stupid. It's not, so yeah, Joe takes her home. She's like, whoa, this is a nice house. You know, it's like a mansion, basically. And then that's when her dad, you know, finds out that, you know, people have been picking on Abby. So then, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, it's nice to have a friend or whatever type of thing. And that what gives him the idea to. So we circle back now to the beginning of the movie.
Which they reshot.
Oh, they reshot it? Okay.
Yeah, because I saw a video online where somebody compared the two scenes. Same dialogue, but they're delivered differently. It's weird.
Hmm. Yeah, they do that sometimes with shows and stuff. I don't know why, but so yeah, he offers to pay her first semester at least as like a down payment, basically, to be her friend. What's the other thing too? What I don't really understand is that. So normally when you have this kind of story where it's like, hey, you know, I'll pay you to be my child's friend or whatever, it's usually because like the person is really awkward or like the other person doesn't really even want to be their friend, not really interested in them. In this case, it already seems like they were already kind of getting along with each other to begin with. So it kind of steals away a little bit from the whole, I'm going to pay you to be my daughter's friend type of thing.
It's,
so like,
it's kind of like,
you know what I mean?
It's kind of like a BFF, she's all that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it kind of felt like it was cheapening the whole plot because they were already kind of, I mean, obviously you're not going to become someone's best friend the first day you meet them, but like.
But they seem to become best friends in like a day.
Yeah. So it just seemed like that was a kind of stupid plot.
Back to the, like, she's all that comparison, like in that movie, Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character and Rachel Lee Cook's character, you know, they didn't hit it off right away after he made the bet with what's his face from Fast and the Furious that passed away. Paul Walker. Yeah.
So, that's right, Paul Walker.
Yeah, but he makes the bet with him, and then, you know, it's like, it's almost like a it takes weeks for them to become friends and for him to fall for her.
Right. This... But, you know, that kind of makes sense, because that's kind of, you know, takes some time, you know.
Yeah, but this is like, boom, Joe is like now Abby's best friend.
Yeah. And for real, not just because of the money.
Yeah.
And then, because at one point she tries to give the money back to her dad, and he like refuses, like, I'm just going to give it back to you anyway, or whatever. You know, that's later on in the story. But, and so I know we're kind of skipping around here a little bit, but, so I'm kind of blanking a little bit about a lot of stuff that happened.
Yeah. So basically, in this scene where they're at the house, though, too, we also established the fact that Abby's really into art, because she drops her sketchbook, and that's what brings Joe to go back to the door to give it back to the parents or whatever. And anyways, and then we have the whole situation, and Abby's dad is like a Ron Popeil sort of guy, like a, you know, or a Billy Mays or something, like where he sells stuff on TV. And he, you know, like a cat, you know, like an automatic cat toilet or something, and, you know, some kind of weird Roomba looking mop or something, you know. So we've got that. But anyway, so she takes the money because she really needs the money for college, basically. So because she really wants to go to Carnegie Mellon, because earlier, I don't think we mention that she can't afford to go to Carnegie Mellon because of how bad things were with her dad.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah.
Which
I thought was funny back then earlier, too, because because she wants to be like an architect. And he says something like, you know, you could transform Toledo into the architectural wonderland. So I'm under the impression that this takes place near Toledo.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah, when he mentioned, Toledo.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it takes place, you know, somewhere near where we live, in Northwest Ohio.
That's our headcanon. That takes place in, like, let's say Akron or something. Or
No. Akron would be too far away from Toledo.
Oh, okay.
That's like 4 hours. Three or 4 hours. I would say, you know, maybe even where I am in Findlay, which is like 45 minutes away. So,
yeah.
Or where you are in, you know, your undisclosed location. Undisclosed location in the bunker underground. That
I live in the bunker now.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So.
Boy.
So this movie.
This movie.
So she gives her the ride home, gets offered by the dad to help, and for him to help pay, you know, for school and blah, blah, blah. And her excuse for accepting things and being a complete, you know, I don't know, idiot or, you know, selfish person, is because her Abby's dad is such a good salesman.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he blames it on him and his sales techniques.
You know who else had really good sales techniques?
Who's that?
Charles Manson.
Yeah. Or Hitler. He was a good salesman.
Keith Raniere. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. Yeah. Just yeah, I'm blinking on what goes on. Because so, I know that eventually Mandy starts.
I've got like an outline here.
Oh, good.
So basically what happens next is they start to become friends, and she starts to become friends with Tyler, her shop partner, the guy who was kind of like misogynistic at first.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw him with his shirt off, so she likes him now.
Well, yeah.
It's like, then they go on a date, and he's borrowing a car from his best friend, who is Mandy's boyfriend, and, Mandy's boyfriend had put a tape recorder in the car and recorded their conversation. And during the conversation, she admits that she's a virgin. And the next day, Mandy, puts the audio on the closed circuit television in the school, which I'm like, how does she have the ability to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
How is nobody in the school stopping her from doing this? Because it's done several times in this movie. They just have audio, so then there's like these random photos on there, and I'm just sitting here thinking, like, who's taking these pictures?
Yeah, how did this even happen? Yeah.
Is it, because earlier we met, we did meet a guy who wore a shirt that literally said geek.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
nice.
So we were informed that he was a geek. Also earlier on the Abby wears a shirt that says "Long Live Art."
Oh wow, that's very.
There's no nuance or subtext in this film whatsoever. You know, so
that's very unique stuff there.
Because everybody I know, you know, always all the time wears a shirt that says exactly what they love or what they are. You know, my dad always wears a shirt that says sports because he likes sports.
Yeah, sports. Exactly. Yeah. This one kid, though, had a shirt that was supposed to have like a pun or a joke on it. He has a crush on Abby. I forgot what his shirt.
Yeah. Oh, that's the guy. That's the same guy with the geek shirt. And then later on, he has like a Schrodinger's cat shirt.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which Abby gets the joke of. So, and that is Elliot or something is his name.
Yeah, I think, yeah. He's like a smart dude or whatever, you know.
So, anyways, we've got the whole thing where that is blown up, and all the whole school finds out that Joe is a virgin, which I guess is a bad thing.
Yeah, it was like this, like there's like the biggest insult ever. Like, it's like, okay, she's 18 years old and she's a virgin. Like, okay. Like,
and even back then, and to a point now, it's still like it's sexist in a way, but it's also considered a good thing for a girl to be a virgin. Mm-hmm. I could understand the story if it was a guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've always had the thing like the whole American Pie movies are all about guys trying to lose their virginity and stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the end of
And that wasn't a decade before this, but still, it's like, you know. But anywho. Yep. We get to a point there where, you know, she thinks that Tyler had set her up, but and gets all mad at him. But then she finds out, she says to Tyler and Mandy that, you know, I hope you're happy together, like thinking that they're going to be a couple or something. Turns out that Tyler is Mandy's stepbrother.
Right.
Because they throw everything at this fucking, I'm sorry, the writing of this movie.
Yeah, there is no nuance whatsoever. It's just like straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like straight up like joke, plot. Yeah. Plot. Like, do you get it?
And there's too much. It's like all thrown in a blender and just like spit up on a screenplay. It's like, I don't know.
What do they say in the show? Don't tell. This is all temp. Uh-huh. You know?
And it completely is. But anyways, after that, the girls at one point, the plastics, I should say, decide to basically this whole thing is the dog's fault anyways, but
it all starts with the dog growing up in the bag, and then everything spirals from that point. I mean, obviously there's the backstory between Mandy being jealous of Abby, but this is like the catalyst for this entire like
the
view, basically
the whole like, you know, beginning of senior year sort of shit. But the dumb plastics go to the, did we talk about, I mean, I, I'm remembering things and then I don't remember if we talked about them, which is kind of weird because I'm getting old. But did we talk about how Abby got stuck? This is earlier in the movie. Abby got stuck to her Vespa.
Oh, that's right. So one of the many crimes that was committed by the plastics in this movie is that she put this, she snuck into the garage. So it's in, you know, invasion of property. And,
to Joe's dad's garage. So
yeah, Joe's dad's garage. So right there, that's a crime. And then she puts this adhesive on the seat of Joe's Vespa. So that's intent of bodily harm. You know, that could hurt her buttocks from having, you know, adhesive that might be, you know, have chemicals that are viscous and could cause burning sensations, other kinds of physical injury. So that's a crime right there. And I'm assuming that Mandy is 18 years old. She's considered illegally as an adult. And so, you know, she could face, you know, either prison sentence or some kind of fines or misdemeanor, you know, whatever. And then, so Joe, in one of the greatest scenes of cinematic history, she goes, whoa, and then falls down as she tries to, you know, get off her seat.
So they do this the day before, too. And my question is, most adhesive dries by then.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So yeah, they do it literally the day before school. It's clearly daytime, and you know, the sun's still out and everything. And then and then Abby's trying to pull her off, can't do it. And they don't really understand yet, but then they figure out that Mandy did it. And so, but Mandy's plot foils because Joe decides to drive her Vespa into the school and to go into the bathroom and to get a change of clothes that Abby somehow just magically has already somehow. And then
and all the kids are getting excited about this girl riding a Vespa around the school.
I mean, I wouldn't be if someone drove it.
Like, yeah, but one of them said, "Do you think she's in a biker gang?"
Oh my God, I did not hear that.
One of them said that like under their breath or whatever at one point. And I'm just like, yeah, because all biker gangs have somebody on a Vespa. They like to have they like to have 18-year-old girls on Vespas.
Well, she's got the leather jacket though too. So,
shit, I forgot.
And she wears a helmet, and we all know biker gangs wear helmets and look so cool, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you see that helmet, they're like, "That's a badass helmet, bro." You know. That's what you think of when you see bikers. You pay attention to the helmets, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, magically, Abby has extra clothes that she just takes. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense.
No, it was her art smock.
Oh, that's right. Smock. So, yeah. So everyone, okay, here's, so like, you know, if I was in high school and I saw something like that, I would think it's pretty cool, but like the reactions from the students are like, this is the coolest thing that ever happened in the entire history of the universe. Like, they're like, cool, like, yeah. And that's badass. And it's like, it's cool. Yeah. But it's not something that like, I would think is like, people would be talking about for like years and years, you know, decades later type of thing. But again, no nuance in this film. So
none at all.
The reactions were just completely, you know, blown out of proportions.
So now we've got another time after that event, and also after the virgin reveal. We've got the plastics going back to the scene of the crime that they went to before to commit another crime.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. But before that, though, Joe wears the smock and everyone thinks it's cool. So everyone starts wearing those kind of clothes. So she's like a basically a fashion trender now. A tastemaker, if you will. And isn't that what they call it? I don't know.
Oh yeah.
she
was the belle of the ball. She was
she's a taste, I don't know. And then it kind of reminds me, I only heard that phrase once during an episode of Community, and Jeff Winger is living in his car because he can't afford his condo anymore.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, "Did you even shower today?" He's like, "I am what they call in industry a tastemaker." And it's like, "It looks like you forgot shaving one side of your face." And he's like, "And next week, so will Gwen Stefani." Next week, Gwen Stefani grows beards. Like, what?
Yes, she does. Yeah, because she's just a girl. And and everything is B-A-N-A. And that's any.
Yeah.
So anyways, we got them going back to the scene of the crime later, and they put like this generic sweet and low stuff in there in the engine using a funnel and coffee in the engine of the dad's car, the engine that he's building for the NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, of course, that, you know, is another crime.
Mm-hmm.
Damage of property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. and
several thousand dollars worth of property.
Oh yeah. Mm. But you know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And they kind of get away with it, but it upsets, you know, Joe, of course, so she gets, you know, all red and wants to commit revenge and stuff, and because, you know, it's like, you can fuck with me but you can't fuck with my dad.
Yeah.
That's what she should have said, and would have made the movie better.
It would have been amazing, but it was like an ABC family. So
they, yeah.
But, you know, say F, don't F with my dad, bro.
F is not for family. F is for fuck. Anyway,
so... Yeah, like that. Yeah, I know.
They, they try to, like, you know, she tries to get revenge. They ends up, there's like this party that Mandy has every year for her birthday. It's an invite-only party.
And, well, of course.
And nobody dares have a party the same night. But
no.
But Joe's idea is that, okay, we're going to have one, Abby, at your place, which is right across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Abby's mom comes in when they're there, and she's, and the girl's like, oh, we're all ready for the party. And they're wearing kind of like, you know, normal clothing. And then, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, you're not. You got to wear these dresses. And we have like a mini She's All That makeover.
Yeah. Right, like, hey, Joe, it's time for you to wear something feminine for the first time in your life type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Gonna have the, I think her mom even says, like, you're not gonna have this body forever. You might as well show it off. And it's like, okay, like, what if she doesn't want to do that, you know? And then it's like...
why are you objectifying your friend's teenage friend? Your daughter's teenage friend, I mean.
All this typical mom shit. I don't know, not really typical mom shit, but...
My mom always used to say that to my friends, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to have this body forever, bro, or whatever.
Yeah, she'd just be like, you're not going to have this body forever. And then, you know, my friend Jeremiah was like, what? No, anyways.
So before this, though, so during this time, is this happened before or after? I know, I think it might have been after. I mean, so she'd been collecting, Joe had been collecting a group of friends who were kind of glad that she was a virgin type of thing. So she's kind of building up like a clique of her own a little.
And they're all at the party and stuff.
So I think after this is kind of what solidifies her kind of having her own. So basically, what happens during the party? I forgot. I know it's something to do with pizza.
So basically, everybody goes to Abby's party. Nobody goes to Mandy's. And Mandy, of course, is pissed off at this. So she talks to Hope, who has Ipecac for her that makes her throw up when she needs to or something. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Why would you need to throw up? But
well, I guess sometimes, you know, if there's something stuck in you. But I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why you would have a prescription for Ipecac. But I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
So they put the Ipecac on the pizza that's being delivered to the party. Joe sees Hope paying off the pizza guy, so she knows something's up, and she thinks the pizza smells funny, so she tells everybody not to eat it, and then luckily that was averted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at the party outside, and the weirdest thing ever is Elliot's dancing with a plant.
Yeah,
our tech savvy guy Elliot, he's dancing with a plant. I just thought that was weird. But the whole time he's checking out Abby.
Stereotypes. He's the geek who doesn't care he's a geek type of thing. That's his role in the movie.
So he has to be with the geek who...
Like, he knows he's weird, but doesn't care he's weird. So, like, no one can really make fun of him because it just bounces off of him, bro. That's his character. That's, in a nutshell, that's who he is. Mm-hmm. I stereotyped him, but that's... The movie stereotypes him, so it's okay if I stereotype him because the movie already did it.
He was already a one-dimensional character regardless.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then, anyways, Mandy and her little clique and her boyfriend come over to the party, and they're expecting to see everybody throwing up because of the Ipecac. I like saying that word, Ipecac. Anyway, so...
Ipecac, yeah.
Yeah. Nick, the boyfriend or whatever, I think it's Nick. Nick, he's there, but he's hungry, so Joe gives him a piece of the pizza out of the trash.
Oh, trash pizza.
Yeah, and Mandy is all pissed off, course, and then she's like I'm gonna show you, Virgin Joe, what it's like to, you know, be all sexy and stuff. And then she goes over to kiss her boyfriend, and he throws up all over her.
Yep.
Which, you know, I saw coming a mile away. But so that's what happened at the party. So then after that, Joe and Abby and Quinn, the other outcast kind of girl who saved the dog earlier, they start a new clique, and they call themselves the Anti-Plastics.
Yeah, great name.
And then they play a series of pranks on Chastity and Hope to try to break up the plastics, you know, which include taking pictures of... basically telling the principal where Chastity makes out with all the dudes, and then that's when Tim Meadows commits his crimes of taking pictures of kids. So at one point, Joe starts to become more and more like Mandy because she's mm-hmm. like the new like it girl in the school, and you know the Antiplastics are the new cool group.
But
right. Joe then goes and she gets money in the mail or no she gets money from I think in the mail or something from Abby's dad, and she tries to return it because she starts to feel like she's becoming a bitch, you know. And,
yeah,
and then she wants to tell Abby what's up, but then Mandy overhears the whole thing. And basically breaks it to Quinn to put in the newspaper.
Later.
Yeah. Quinn's just kind of like a, you know, she has no, you know, no loyalty at all.
Nope.
She, basically it's broken that, you know, that basically Joe's just been friends with Abby because her dad's been paying.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is, you know, really weird still to the whole point of the script. But then Quinn gives the idea that the only way that I guess the votes are already in, and it looks like Joe is going to be homecoming queen, which Mandy Ooh. Really wanted. And so she finds out that the only way for that to not happen is if Joe is expelled, thanks to Quinn telling her that idea. And so Mandy and Nick steal the homecoming court charity money.
So that's another felony.
which was supposed to be donated to like the Humane Society.
Yeah. Well, we already know that Mandy doesn't really care about animals because she threw away her own dog in the trash. So,
yes.
Bad tracks, you know.
Mm-hmm. Ah, poor dog. And yep. Coco Chanel. That was the name of the dog.
yeah.
She plants it in Joe's shed and then tips off Principal Duvall. That's Tim Meadows' character. So mm-hmm. then Joe is expelled, and he's basically saying that he had to tell Carnegie Mellon as well, so she might not be able to go to school there. So, but she finds Mandy in the hallway and then says, we've got to fight this out like men in a powder puff football game in the most stupid, pointless plot point in this whole fucking movie.
Yeah, this one came out of nowhere. I was not
expecting no connection it. To anything. It makes no sense. And in the end, doesn't affect the plot at all.
No, it was like a waste of 15 minutes. And that's the other thing, too. This point only took about 15 minutes to go from start to finish. And it was just stupid. Yeah, because Mandy's like, oh, well, you know, good luck facing us with just, you know, your team of one. Because, you know, all the girls don't like her anymore because of So, you know, we're like, oh, no, you know, what's going to happen? She's going to have to face an entire football team. That's the other thing, too. So, like, Mandy starts, like, recruiting all these students that we never even seen before. Like, there's a fifth-year senior who's, like, this really big girl. She, quote, doesn't feel pain.
Yeah.
Which, is that even a thing? Like, I don't even understand how you don't feel pain. It's not.
I think I'm the exact opposite of that. That's all I feel is pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And then, like, this karate champion. And there's this one scene where she's got, like, her some freaking, like,
nunchucks.
Signs or nunchucks or some shit on build, and it's like you're not allowed to do karate and football. What? Like, and they
that might
that
actually make me watch football, though.
Well, true, but it's just so weird. Well, basically, you know, the girls, they don't really necessarily forgive Joe, but they want to help her anyway, so they join her team.
Because they find out that she was trying to give back the money, so they know.
Right.
She, yeah.
And so they have the whole training montage where they're, like, learning how to play football and stuff like that.
And they also come up with the idea that they can prove that Mandy stole the money because there's security cameras. There's this weird neighbor named Mr. Winkle across the street.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Earlier, who has security cameras on the trees next, you know, across the street from Joe's house.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
They, the geeky guy, Elliot, decides that he can hack into the security cameras or something. My whole thing is, this guy has security cameras for a reason, because he wants to catch criminals.
Yeah.
Why not just knock on Mr. Winkle's door and be like, hey, can we get the tapes of the cameras or digital, whatever, however that's being recorded.
Like, nothing. Yeah, because he thinks that Joe's dad is running a, quote, chop shop in his garage. That's why he installed his cameras, because I was working on cars.
And also, on top of that, if he's recording all this stuff, don't you think he would have seen somebody breaking in several times to the garage into the shed of his neighbor's house and maybe say something? And even if he doesn't like him, I think you might, as a human being, might want to say, hey, that doesn't look like in his daughter or anybody, you know, maybe.
A bunch of teenagers are going sneaking in the garage and
call the cops on a bunch of teenagers doing shit looking shit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Elliot's like trying to like hack into the Wi-Fi by moving around and shit. Somehow that means by him walking around he could find a sweet spot in order to peck or whatever. It's stupid.
Yeah.
So the big game happens. Of course, the plastics have uniforms and the anti-plastics don't because they're the underdogs. Get it?
Yeah.
You know, the fancy team has uniforms that they paid for. And the anti-plastics can't buy uniforms, even though they probably don't really cost that much.
Abby could have probably bought the uniforms because she's rich.
Exactly. It's like, why? Okay, but whatever. And then it's like the whole Little Giants bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
And before that, though, apparently there is a checkered past with Tim Meadows' character.
Oh, yeah.
Because he goes into the locker room. He's like, are you decent? I don't want to... a sexual harassment case again. It's like, oh, was that maybe the pictures you were taking? or is it something different? You know,
what the hell? I mean, he kind of flirts in the original movie with Tina Fey's character, so maybe there was something there that, you know, maybe in between the movies she sued him for sexual harassment.
Yeah. You know, we didn't really know the lore, the deep lore of that, the Mean Girls saga or whatever. And so, basically, you know, anti-plastics win. I mean, anti-climatic, we know they're going to win. Elliot uploads, or Elliot sends the link to everyone's phones, which somehow he has everyone's phone number. That's the part I never understood about show. Like, even with Stargirl, when they uploaded, like, the nude pictures that, what was her name?
I can't remember, but yeah, still, like, they went to every student in the school.
Even teacher, how did they have everyone's phone number that went to school? That's the other crime right there, too, because I think she was underage when she took those photos, so they're basically sharing child to everyone's school. So anyway, no matter.
It's like that in everything. It's like somehow, like, even if it's shared on social media, somehow everybody in the world gets it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if there's a story, like, there's been times where, you know, like, somebody will share me a news story, and then somebody else will share me the news story 3 hours later. They didn't all read it at the same time. You know what I mean? It's
just... No. Yolanda. That was her name. Yolanda.
Yeah.
That's from Stargirl. Okay.
Yeah.
And Nick, you know, the video shows Nick putting the money. That's the other thing, too. And so if this was really a crime that someone would committed, why would they just put a big bag of money sitting in their garage, not hidden at all? Just like, who would do that?
You put it in your shed if you're going to steal the money? I would have taken it out of that. Like, because it's like a heart-shaped thing that they got all the money in.
Yeah.
I would have taken the money out of there and, you know, straightened them up and put them in, like, a, you know, bank or something, or like, hidden them in
floorboards, or
ceiling tile or something, you know? It's just like, what the hell?
Like, no, here's the thing, just sitting there in the garage with the... That's the other thing, too. So, Joe's father, obviously, is a victim of the various felonies that they committed against him, including what affects his livelihood to earn a living and take care of himself and his daughter. And, you know, but he just leaves his garage door open, like, all day long, every day. It's like, maybe, and then he just leaves, and it's like, maybe it's not the smartest idea to have, like, huge, expensive car parts just laying around, you know, in your garage, you're gone.
Things are really safe there in this fictional Ohio town that used to be in Illinois.
Evidently not, because multiple crimes have been on that same property for, like, 3 crimes in, like, a span of, like, a few months, maybe. Nick gets arrested. Mandy does too, obviously, because, you know,
and the cops are right there.
That's right. They show up. They're
at the football game.
They wanted to see this cool powder puff, whatever.
Game. Yeah, because that's what all cops like. Unless they hired cops for the game. I don't know, you know?
Maybe they did. Maybe they sent them there already to check it out. And they're like, hey, now you got to arrest these people. And then, like, Nick is, like, loyal to the end.
Yeah.
He's an idiot that, like, even though Mandy's the one that basically made him the mark, you know, to take the fall for the crime.
And they're arrested, though. And then Principal Duvall apologizes to Joe, of course, and says that he'll help out with the college shit, too. And,
That's right. Expelled her for like a day,
and so then we have the homecoming dance.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And Elliot is elected homecoming king, which he probably hacked in to do, and he's like the worst hacker in movie history. But anyway, so the worst representation of a hacker, at least, even worse than the movie Hackers.
And the movie's good, not really, but yeah. Okay.
So then Abby is elected like homecoming queen, and it's mainly just because Joe dropped out of the race, I guess.
She didn't want to be involved anymore, yeah.
Yeah, they're crowned king and queen, and then Joe and Tyler end up kissing, so I guess they're back together.
Yay!
And then at the end, they're packing up for college, and we learn that Tyler is going to Penn State, and that Joe and Abby are both going to be going to Carnegie Mellon together, and that Joe was able to pay for it because of her birdhouse idea or something that that Abby's dad was able to sell.
Oh yeah, that would make no sense at all. So basically, Abby's dad essentially did a solid for her and made her rich,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. You know, I wish I had like a friend's dad who was like really rich and basically just like took one of my ideas and then made a bunch of money and then gave me the money for it, or at least part of the money for it. I'd be like, awesome. Thank you, dude. That was like, you didn't really need to do that, but appreciate it. Now I'm wealthy for the rest of my life. Cool.
Well, it's like the asshole who started Subway.
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
There was a doctor friend of his dad or something that gave him some money to start it up. And
basically like the angel investor or whatever.
Yeah. But it was only like $1,000 that started that whole company, though. So.
Back in the day.
But yeah, before that, though, after they were arrested, Nick and Mandy had to, like, do community service, so they didn't actually go to jail or whatever. So, you know, because...
Yeah, they do the whole, like, what happened to blah, blah, blah. Hope got over her hypochondria, but then immediately went back in. Someone sneezed on her and gave her... Was it mono? Not mono. It was... Yeah. What was it? Someone sneezed on her and it gave her some other illness.
Oh, it was...
It wasn't... Mono was the reason why she initially became a hypochondria. And then, who cares?
Oh, yeah. Earlier too, though. And Chastity became, because she found out her name, she became like chaste.
Oh, really? Is that what happened?
That's what they said. She found out the meaning.
Oh, okay.
She found out the meaning of her name, so she became chaste.
Oh my god, I must have missed that part. Wow.
Yeah. Also, at one point though, before that, I can't remember when it was. When Elliot was named homecoming king, I think Joe said he really is gonna rig a presidential election one day.
Whoa.
And then. So my thoughts on this whole thing are that, okay, so I think whatever Hope actually caught was COVID. And
in 2011.
Yeah, she was the first case.
And it took years for it to spread.
And then the 2020 election, the MAGA people were right. And Elliot rigged it for Biden to win.
Yeah, Elliot was a Biden supporter. And he's like, cannot survive another Trump's presidency. I know what I'm doing is immoral, but it's the ends justify the means. I must do this. And like he has like this huge like struggle of conscience where he's like, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but this must be done type of thing.
Yes.
And like Abby's like, no. Don't do it, because her parents are probably Republicans, being super rich and stuff, you know, like lower taxes and stuff like that. So she had kind of like on defense because of her upbringing, being rich and everything. But she's like, you can't do it. We know Trump's bad. And Elliot's like, you're right. Because at this point, they're married. You know, it's 9 years later when that her Elliot probably gets a security job. Abby's probably like, you know, oh, some kind of art gallery or whatever. And he's like, you're right, honey. You know, let's go to bed or whatever. So then, you know, they go to sleep. And then, like, Elliot, like, pretends that he's, like, asleep. And then he wakes to make sure that she's sleeping. Like, he could kind of hear, like, you know, the faint sound of snoring from, like, his beautiful wife. And he's like, he gets up and goes into, like, the living room, turns up. Opens his laptop and he's like, kind of stares at it for a moment. And he's like, maybe I shouldn't do this. But then, like, he sees Trump, like, speaking, like, on TV. And he's like, his rhetoric is too much. It's like, I can't let this happen. So then he hits the button. Because, of course, with hackers, you just, like, type in a bunch of random code and you hit a button. And then that, like, causes everything you need to happen. He kind of sighs and he closes his laptop and he goes to bed. And then, like, the next day, it's like, Biden wins the election. Or actually, it was, like, 3 days later is when they finally
called
it. So Elliot is now what caused all these problems. Trump 2024. No, not really.
No, do not say that. And everything you just said would have been a better movie than the one we watched.
Oh, it would have been. It was so much better.
So anyways,
when you start writing movies, instead of just coming up with ideas, you need to actually start. I'm saying it to myself because I didn't write anything.
Write them all down. We'll work them out. I mean, I've written a couple screenplays now. So if anybody wants to fund any of our screenplays, please send me a message at cullenpark.com. Go to cullenpark.com. There's a donate button on there. You can donate to my donate to my PayPal and we'll take care of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anywho, I do have a screenplay finished. If anybody is actually an investor that's listening to this and wants to invest, I have a feature length screenplay finished that I really want to produce. If you want more details, again, that's mike@cullenpark.com. For any other final thoughts on the greatest sequel ever made?
No, I think I'm good, actually.
Okay, so, yeah, we're running long here, folks, so I'm going to wrap this up then. I have nothing else to say, except for be sure to check out our TeePublic, our Patreon. Those are good ways to help support the show. Check out cullenpark.com, and you can donate to us there, too. Also, check out alltoreal2.com for everything. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, which everybody always says that, and I don't understand that, because of course you can find this podcast anywhere you can find podcasts.
But
you know, it's true. And you know, go share the show, you know, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you can review the podcast, because that's the best way to support the show for free. That or sharing the show with your friends and family on social media. Until next time, folks, just remember that I love you. Coco Chanel, the dog, loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And Sesame loves you. And until next... And Abby loves you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.